Okay, we are in the book of Exodus. We are going to finish the book of Exodus today, God willing. We have only 4 chapters to go. Book of Exodus, chapter 36. We are going to read first 7 verses.
Then wrought Bezaleel unto Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezaleel unto Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, The people bring much more than enough for the service of the Lord which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, Let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much.
God anointed 2 people to do the work of the tabernacle. Same time, he gave the wisdom and grace to men and women to do some other works. And Moses said, bring the stuff for the tabernacle. And the word of God says they start bringing every morning. And they bought a lot of stuff. And there was no room to keep it. So they said, now more than enough you got. Please don't bring any more, because we have more than enough. I was thinking, I never heard in 21st century or any time people start bringing offering and pastor says, enough, don't bring any more. People always have need of money and stuff. But this was the tabernacle, and they got lots of stuff. And the people who were working, they knew exactly what are the things are needed. And they said, enough, we have more than enough. And they stopped bringing. So I can see many people got so many things, and everyone were doing joyfully, willingly, and nobody forced them to bring anything. And I believe this was the work of God and the will of God. And you can see, when these people are bringing the offerings, they have to put the piles up, some goat's hair one side, badger's skin one side, the red skin one side, and all the curtains one side. So they were putting everything in order. And I was thinking at that time, no hurricane, no rain, no snow, nothing came. If something would have come, everything would be a disaster. From that, you know, God was in the building of the tabernacle. Psalm 127, Philip. Read first verse, first or second.
Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain.
See, if God is not building the house, the builder's building is in vain. So this was a God's house, and Moses and all other people were building this house. God's grace was upon them, and they were able to finish this job. Without hurricane, without wind, without rain, without snow, and God's protection was there, and everyone every morning coming and bringing the stuffs, and they were rejoicing. And that's the way they bought everything, and then they built the tabernacle. Let's go to the Exodus chapter 40, starting from verse 1. Why I'm skipping this? Because if you read this yourself, you will see most of the repetition, and these 4 chapters, all the repetition, what God told Moses to do it and how they did it and things like that. But we already studied each and every item and everything, so I'm skipping this. But I will ask later on Pastor Philip, Brother Philip, to finish reading so we can put it in the internet. Let's go to the book of Exodus chapter 40, starting from verse 1.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, On the first day of the first month shalt thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation, and thou shalt put therein the ark of the testimony, and cover the ark with a veil. Thou shalt bring in the table, and set in order the things that are to be set in order upon it, and thou shalt bring in the candlestick, and light the lamps thereof. And thou shalt set the altar of gold for the incense before the ark of the testimony, and put the hanging of the door to the tabernacle. And thou shalt set the altar of the burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. And thou shalt set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar, and shalt put water therein. And thou shalt set up the court round about, and hang up the hanging at the court gates. And thou shalt take the anointing oil, and anoint the tabernacle, and all that is therein, and shalt hallow it, and all the vessels thereof, and it shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint the altar of the burnt offering, and all his vessels, and sanctify the altar, and it shall be an altar most holy. And thou shalt anoint the laver and his foot, and sanctify it. And thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and wash them with water. And thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments, and anoint him, and sanctify him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt bring his sons, and clothe them with coats. And thou shalt anoint them, as thou didst anoint their father, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. For their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations.
When they put the tabernacle, they start from the beginning. They put the Ark of the Covenant first. When they put the Ark of the Covenant, then put the veil, then put the table of showbread, then put the lamps and lights and everything, and then they put the golden altar with the incense, then took the altar of burnt offering outside the tabernacle, then put the laver between tabernacle and the altar, and then they finished the court. And then they took the anointing oil and start anointing the tabernacle, all the vessels in the tabernacle. They are anointing burnt offering altars, and they anoint all the vessels and everything on the sanctuary. Then they anoint Aaron and his son. Before anointing, they brought in front of the door of the tabernacle, and they give them wash. They said bath. Give them bath. After giving the bath, Aaron and his son put on the new garment for the ministry, and then they anointed them with the oil for the priest's service. And this is the way it's done. And I was thinking, when the tabernacle is done, ordinary people will be going outside in. But here we're saying, building everything inside out. First, Ark of the Covenant, mercy seat, then the golden altar, the veil and the golden altar, and then table of the showbread, coming out, and then coming out to the where the real altar is, where the sacrifice is happening. So they did everything other way around, and the tabernacle was completely built. Now let's read the verse 16.
Thus did Moses, according to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he.
Now here he is saying, all these things are done, but you will see in each and every sentence, he says, Moses did according to what the Lord has commanded him. That means each and every item, each and everything, there was nothing lacking. Not a one nail thing was lacking. Everything they did accordingly. That's what he said. Moses did everything according to what God told him to do. Verse 17.
And it came to pass in the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was reared up. And Moses reared up the tabernacle, and fastened its sockets, and set up the boards thereof, and put in the bars thereof, and reared up his pillars. And he spread abroad the tent over the tabernacle, and put the covering of the tent above upon it, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he took and put the testimony into the ark, and set the staves on the ark, and put the mercy seat above upon the ark. And he brought the ark into the tabernacle, and set up the veil of the covering, and covered the ark of the testimony. And he put the table and the tent of the congregation upon the side of the tabernacle northward, without the veil. And he set the bread in order upon it before the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he put the candlestick of the tent of the congregation over against the table on the side of the tabernacle southward. And he lighted the lamps before the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he put the golden altar in the tent of the congregation before the veil. And he burnt sweet incense thereon, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he set up the hanging at the door of the tabernacle. And he put the altar of burnt offering by the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation, and offered upon it the burnt offering and the meat offering, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar, and put water there to wash withal. And Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and their feet thereat, when they went into the tent of the congregation. And when they came near unto the altar, they washed as the Lord commanded Moses. And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle.
Okay, here is a repetition, even though we read from verses 1 to 15, same thing they repeated again. And here we see everything was done according to the will of God. First they put the Ark of the Covenant, mercy seat, and then they put the curtain, the veil, and then they come out, put the table of showbread, put the lampstand, and then put the altar of incense, and then they're coming out, put the laver and the burnt offering altar, and then first they washed the Aaron and his children. First they gave them bath. After that, garment, and then anoint them again with the oil. And then they said, now you have to wash your hands again and then do the sacrifice. And everything was done according to the will of God, here he said. And then as soon as they did that, everything was sanctified. Outer altar, inside altars, mercy seat, and everything was anointed by special oil. And when they did everything and sacrifice, and then now when they're looking at the tabernacle was filled with the glory of God. Means all the white cloud everywhere. And not only that, Moses was not able to enter into the tabernacle. So I was thinking, that's why they did backward. They did everything, mercy seat and everything. Otherwise, if they put everything and the cloud of glory comes, they won't be able to finish the job. But God allowed them to everything to finish. The tabernacle was done, the inside the all the articles were finished, and outside tabernacle was finished. And when somebody comes and sees the tabernacle from outside, they won't see anything, but they will see the badger skin or the red skin or the ram's hair. And that was not beautiful looking stuff. So this was the called order of the tabernacle. People looking from outside, and the tabernacle was not looking beautiful. And we already learned that Isaiah prophesied, Isaiah 53, what was the Christ when he was disfigured and on the cross, and people were shaking their heads and they were not able to look at his face and they were walking away. That is the picture of the tabernacle, how Jesus was on the cross and how it looked. So that's what everything outside was not beautiful, but inside everything was beautiful, laid out of gold, all the boards, All the inside items, everything was made by pure gold. And the God's presence was there in the mercy seat. And God said, I'll talk to you through the mercy seat. And so you can see now everything set. God's glory is there. Israeli people are watching. God's presence is there. And Moses even was not able to enter into the tabernacle. I don't know how long it happened, but glory of God was round about this tabernacle. Then God gave them the rules. When we see the glory of God over the tabernacle, you stay there. And when the glory of God is lifted up, you travel. And daytime, the cloud will be over you, and the nighttime, the fire will be protecting you. Let's read Exodus chapter 40, starting from 35. Go ahead.
And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys.
Now here we see, they are in the wilderness, they are traveling, and they came out of Egypt. So Egyptian people were angry, they wanted to defeat them, but what happened? When they came to the sea, they were drowned and they were dead. Means their army, all this Egyptian army were dead. But surrounding areas, they had enemies. So God was protecting children of Israel. All these 12 tribes, they were camping in front of tabernacle. Each tribe will be surrounding the tabernacle, and God's glory and the light will be daytime, the cloud and the glory of God will be over the tabernacle, and the nighttime, the glow of like a fiery glow all around the tabernacle. So no animal, no enemy, and nobody can come and destroy the tabernacle. And because of the glory of God and the fire of God on the tabernacle, so the people can live in the light. They didn't need light in every tent. The glory of God was so powerful, and they can stay. And then the word of God says, each time they want to travel, daytime God will take the cloud off, and then they will travel. And whenever they have to stop, the glory of God will appear, and they will stop right there, and that's the sign of them how to travel. And this is the way the chapter finishes. But we started from the beginning, Exodus chapter 1. We saw the Israeli people were there, and how they went there. One day, God told Abraham, bring me the sacrifice, and I'll tell you about the land and about your children. And Abraham was so excited. What he did, he bought the sacrifice in the noontime. Sacrifice time is in evening time. He bought it in the daytime, and then when he put the sacrifice there, and the vultures and the birds start coming. So he has to chase the birds and chase the bird, and he was so tired and finally fell asleep. Now, God did not say at that time, why did you do foolish thing? Why can't you wait until the evening time? He was so hurried to conquer the land. So God says, now your children will go to exile. From that, I know when God tells him, I'm going to show you how you're going to get children or how you're going to get a land. And all of a sudden, God says, no, not now. Your children, they are going to go to the exile for four generations or almost 400 years. I don't think the Abraham understood what God was saying. But see, you cannot hurry God. God does everything on His time. But he was so selfish. When God told him, I'm going to give a son, he went to Hagar. That's also very fast. He wanted instantly. Now here God says, I'm going to tell you the plan, how you're going to have your children. And so he went ahead of time. So God said, not now. Let your children stay there in exile for 400 years and then you come back. He had no idea how it's going to happen. But as you know, Joseph. And Pharaoh was very pleased. I'm not giving the story because I'm just giving highlights. Pharaoh was very pleased with the Joseph. So he said, you know what? You can bring your father and we'll give you the best land. And the Goshen was the best land. So they got the best land and they were living there. But Pharaoh died. And then the new Pharaoh came. When the new Pharaoh came, at that time, Israeli people were growing so fast. So they could not control them. Joseph was the prime minister. And now, Pharaoh is gone, so Joseph is dead. And now these people are growing fast. They don't know how to control them. They try to give them a job, harass them, and do all kinds of things. But these people keep on growing. And they start throwing their children in the river. And you know the story. The Moses was rescued and Moses grew in the Pharaoh's house. Now he got all the education, all the teaching of the Pharaoh, and he was very smart in everything. He learned the war, he learned everything. Now he is almost in his maybe 25, 26 years old. And Book of Hebrews, Hebrews 11.
Okay. Well, 25 and 26.
Okay, go ahead.
23, but we can go to 25 if you want. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward.
Now see, in his youth, he understood that maybe his mother told him in the beginning, you are a Hebrew child, you are in the king's palace, you should deliver us, we are suffering. And he said, okay, I don't want a sinful life, I don't want to luxury, I'm going to deliver my people. And he started helping them, going out to look at them, and if anybody's harassing them, he will try to rescue them. And one day he saw one Egyptian beating up the Israeli person. So Moses got angry and he killed him. And the word of God says he looked right, he looked left, but he did not look in the back or up. And so he buried the man. And next day his brethren fighting. So he said, why are you brothers fighting? So he said, who made you over us, our boss or something, or leader or something? You killed the Egyptian yesterday, now you're trying to kill us? So he thought news went up. Everybody knew. So he left the Egypt, and as you know, 40 years he was in the wilderness. Now somebody said, why in the 40 years he could not find peace? And you know the story. And one day he saw the bush burning, and he went closer to see it. The bush is burning, it's not became ashes. So he comes close. God says to him, take your shoes off. And then God spoke to him. He said, who are you? He said, I am that I am. You go and deliver the children of Israel. I don't know how to talk. My language is not good. I'm stuttering person, and I don't have personality and all of these things. God was a little bit mad. But God said, okay, I'm going to give your brother. And his brother came. Maybe God inspired him, and his brother came and met him. He was going, and here the word of God says, God tried to kill him. And Moses didn't know why God is killing him, but as an Israeli man, he's supposed to circumcise his children. And so, but his wife knew this thing, and he did not care. If God doesn't care about me, I'm not going to obey your commandment. So that's what he was doing. But when God met him and talked to him, then he has to straighten out his life. Before I go to deliver my people, I have to obey the commandment. So his wife did the circumcision and put it under his feet, and God protected him. And so when he goes there, as you know the story, first time he goes and talked to Israeli people and showed them the miracle, what God can do. He put the rod and snake came, and he put his hand in the bosom, and his hand became a leper. So they saw the miracle. Okay, God has sent you can be deliverers. And then he goes to the Pharaoh. Pharaoh got mad and gave them a lot of work. And those people did not like Moses. But after the 10th miracle, each and every Egyptian's firstborn was dead, and they let them go. And that's the way they came. And while they were going, God already told them, ask these Egyptian people whatever you want, clothes, jewelry, everything. The word of God says, God already told Moses, you will be coming out of Egypt with all kinds of prosperity. You will have gold and silver and everything, and those people will give it to you. And what happened? Moses already told the people. When they say go, we say, okay, we'll go in, but I need that gold. Okay, take this. I need that. Take this. And everything they got, and the word of God said they came with wealth and prosperity. Read the Psalm 105, verse 37.
He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes.
See, God brought them with the silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. What happened? Because the day they ate the Passover lamb, means when they ate the Passover lamb, represent Jesus Christ, like they took the communion, when they took the Passover lamb, each and every person who was sick got healed. You know how many people? They say more than 2 million people. And so some places say 2 million, some people say 6 million. But even the more than 2 million people, they were old people, maybe 90 years, 95 years, little babies and things like that. And all these people, they have to come out from their tents and everything and eat the lamb and put the sign of the blood on the top of the doorpost and the side of the doorpost. When you put this blood like this and both sides, there should be sign of the cross. So the point I'm making, they ate the lamb completely healthy, and not a single person was sick. When they come out, I think Exodus 15 verse 26 or so,
and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
Can you imagine? First of all, he healed them. Everyone was healthy. Now they came out of the Egypt. They already, crossed the Red Sea. Miriam was dancing and glorifying God. Here God says, listen, let me tell you. You saw all the disease in Egypt. People were having all kinds of disease. You people suffer a lot. But now, if you listen to my voice, listen to my commandments and obey me, not a single disease you saw in Egypt will come upon you. You will be completely healthy, and you will be completely strong and healthy to travel all around. 40 years it took for them to go to the promised land. Why 40 years? You know, God sent Moses, sent the spies. He sent the 12 spies from each tribe, one person. Joshua and Caleb and all other 10 tribes. And they went, they saw the people. What they say? The people are like a giant and we look like a grasshopper. So I said, giant and grasshopper means you are very small, you cannot defeat them, and they got the bad news. But Joshua and Caleb got the fruits of the land, and they got the grapes, and bringing the grapes, that two healthy men carry those grapes, then you know. So they got these fruits, but the 10 people gave the bad news, and 2 people gives the good news. People got the bad news, and they took the bad news, and they had more problems. Only Joshua and Caleb said, we can defeat them, they are strong, we are stronger than them, they will be grasshopper, not we. The point I'm making, God says, now these people will never go to the promised land. You remember when Moses went to take the 10 commandments, here they made the idol. And God says, I'm going to destroy them. Moses said, no, no, please don't do that. What the Egyptian will think. He said, okay. But he said, I am going to destroy these people. They are not going to go to the promised land. If you don't want right now, but plague came, some of the people died. But he said, if I go with you, I will be punishing people. Moses said, okay, Lord, you want to come, come. But I'm not going without you. When God was with them, they start doing mischiefs. You remember one time the snake start biting them and they were so afraid, and they came to Moses and says, Moses, the snakes are biting, could you please pray? And he went to God, and God says, you know what, make a serpent of brass, put it on the pole and put the pole high. When the people are complaining snake bite, tell them to look at the brass and serpent. And when they look, they will heal. It looks like a foolish thing, right? But the people who had the snake bite, and they are crying, Moses, Moses, help us. He said, look up. And they looked, and they were healed. What God was showing them. You remember Jesus Christ was talking to Nicodemus? You must be born again. And he didn't understand what Jesus Christ was saying. He says, just like a Moses lift up the serpent in the wilderness and people got healed and delivered, same way Son of Man should be lifted up. And he was talking about the crucifixion. We see the journey of Israeli people from Egypt to the promised land. We finished the chapter 40. We finished the, what you call, Exodus today. So this is the way the chapter finishes. And they have to depend on God when to move, when not to move. When God says move, they move. When God says stop, they stop. And they learn the lesson. But in their journey, many people made many mistakes. And they suffer a lot. Joshua and Caleb, they are the only one, 2 people, were able to take them to promised land. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. Moses was patiently waiting for these people. But even the Moses, when he disobeyed God, he was not able to go to the promised land. Even Aaron could not go to the promised land. Even Miriam was not able to go to the promised land. But only Joshua and Caleb and all other young generation were able to go. So Lord Jesus, give us grace. You have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. We follow Jesus Christ in all kinds of trials and tribulations, pain and suffering, and all kinds of things comes in our way. But Jesus Christ says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Our God is with us all the time. We commit ourselves into our loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.